I've been praying for a while since I found out I'm going to be coming today about this message and what God wants to bring here today and what the word that he wants to say to you. It's my heart that I would be out of the way and you all would hear what God wants to say. So as I was praying one evening, I began to hear him speak, and he does this. Most of the time he'll give me just like a one word or two words, and that's all I get. And my message will usually come out of that. But this time, as he's done in the past sometimes, he'll say, put pen to paper. So I want you all to hear what he said to me, and this message is birthed out of what the message he said to me. These are the last days. Hope is lost and far between. Listlessness abounds. Inspiration is weak. Warnings abound, but the people take no heed. I see a vast field then, and it's like white for harvest. And I only see a few souls that are harvesting. And I hear him say, pray that I send more laborers, for the need is great. Then he says, the state of the Union, meaning the United States, is dire. Lawlessness abounds. Angel armies await, yet no one calls. Their swords are ready, yet no one prays. The time for standing still is over. It's time to move out, like soldiers beginning to march out. And it ends up with this vision where I look out the windows of heaven. This is kind of a place that the Lord has taken me to when he's going to show me a vision about something. And not always, but just sometimes. And so I look out this window of heaven, and there's this mighty army marching. And I can see just the vast, vast number of angels marching. And the Lord is with them. And then I hear him say, more are they who are for you, more are they who are with you than those who are against you. And people are in despair and listlessness, but tell them of my army and that I am with them. There are more for them than against them. So this message came out of this word from God. So I want you to take it to heart and examine yourself about where you need to change and what things you need to do in your life, and listen and hope, let hope return, and believe that God is going to show up when you pray. So I'm going to start off tonight. I'm used to doing evening service, sorry. Start off this morning with a look at what lost hope looks like, and how that we can regain our hope. So I'm starting out in Ezekiel chapter 37. I'm reading 1 through 13. The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will put sinews on you and will bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and skin covered over them, but there was no breath in them. Also, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So as I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore prophesy to them and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves. And I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. So we see the condition of the people here in this particular instance is lost hope. But the symptom of the lost hope is dryness. And so when we look at this, we want to know what, you know, we've all been through a lot lately. I mean, we've lost lots of family members. We have been through dire circumstances with all this flood and the pandemic and all of these things, one right after another, that's happened in this community. And it is easy to see why that we've gotten discouraged, or some of us may feel discouraged. But I want us to know and open our eyes that there's hope and there's a way out of this place. I want us to think about for a minute the opposite of dryness. It's getting up to come the springtime of the year. And you can see trees beginning to bud out. I've got a fruit tree in my yard that's just budding out beautifully. And little flowers are coming up. Seem like in this time of year, when it comes, it's like whoosh, and it's there. You know, all of this life just springing forth. And so this is what God wants for us. We might have gone through a winter, but God has got a springtime for us. And he's wanting us to open our eyes and understand that and look to him, because he's saying, this is what I want to do. And if God wants to do something, he can do it. And so just we need to look to him and to see, open our eyes, open our spirits to him, and let and just begin to understand that that he is there with us. But I want to warn us that there is a, he said, lost hope and listlessness was the situation. So listlessness is, it means a loss of interest or energy or spirit. Anybody lost any energy lately? I'm going to put my hand up there and just saying, God, little help here. You know, little help. I need some energy here. And so that those two things go together and kind of feed off one another. Lost hope and listlessness does. And so you can see the enemy likes to have a great day with this. And he likes to come forth and just be able to put his hand in there and stir that pot and just keep telling you that there is no reason for you to go on, that it's all hopeless and it's all helpless. And he tells you all of these kind of things. But all through this passage in Ezekiel here, what does God say to Ezekiel? Prophesy. Say to. Hear the word of the Lord. And so he's saying, prophesy to the bones. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy to the whole house of Israel. Say to them, hear the word of the Lord. And so, what had they been saying? They had been saying, our bones are dry. Our hope is lost. We ourselves are cut off. We can't keep saying those kind of things and expect a different result. So we have to change what we're saying, right? And we have to change, if we change what's in our heart, what we're putting into our heart, what we're feeding ourselves, and this is what we've been feeding ourselves, then that different things are going to start coming out of our mouth. So I want to take a little detour here, and there's a reason for it. And this is in Matthew 16:13, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And they answered him, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus asked again in verse 15, but who do you say I am? Who do you say I am? And then Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Now, I want us to know and understand that if we get in the Word and we study the Word and we start saying what the Word of God, hear the Word of the Lord, hear what he is saying to you. And when you began to pick that word up and you began to read, and you say, oh, I read and I pray, how much time is it spent just because I'm supposed to read my chapter today? And how much time is it just digging into the Lord? I have found during this time that it has been the hardest thing to praise and worship. It seems like you have to really dig in to get to that place of praising and worshiping Him. But God wants us to dig in. He wants us in our prayer time, in our private life, in our secret dwelling place to be with Him and dig into who He is and what He is saying to us. Because He wants a different message in our heart, and He wants different words to be coming out of our mouth. I remember several years ago when Brian went off to college that I was so consumed with taking care of him and running everywhere he had to go that when he left for college, it was like, wow, the whole house emptied, because I was used to having a house full of boys from the baseball team at my house. And, you know, it was just real empty spot, and I didn't really know what to do with myself after that. I guess I thought of myself as being Opal's daughter, Dean's wife, and Brian's mom, and after that, I didn't know what to think about myself. So I found myself morning after morning standing in front of the mirror as I was getting ready to go to work, and I would say, who are you? I'd look in the mirror and I'd ask myself that question. And I realized I didn't really know. That's a bad place to be in, folks. Because if you don't know who you are, the enemy is going to tell you. He'll send somebody else to tell you who you are. So I kept asking this question. In the meantime, this is about the time that I first went to New Hope Church. And I began to learn a lot of things that I didn't know, and so much information that I didn't know how to kind of put it all into perspective. And one morning when I was standing there and doing that, all of a sudden inside, I said, who are you? I heard an answer inside myself saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I heard that go off on the inside of me. And I thought, my God, the Word is telling me who I am. Now, that may be you all might think that's just really funny now, but to me, that was a great revelation at the time. I did not know the Word would tell me who I was. You have to remember the background. Those of you who've known me for years and years, you know what kind of background I came from, and this was not anything like I'd ever heard or understood before. But, you know, like I said, if you don't tell yourself who you are, the enemy is going to tell you. Joe Blow down the street's going to tell you. Somebody in your household is going to tell you. They're going to tell you you're hopeless, you're worthless, you're stupid, you're never going to change, or you're prideful, or you're arrogant, the other side of it, you know. They're always going to tell you who you are, but we got to tell ourselves who we are. We got to tell ourselves who our God is and who He is to us. So when we're studying this Word and we're getting this Word out of it, and we can't just say the words on a paper. It has to be internalized. It has to be get in our heart. And once it's in our heart, just like when I was standing in the mirror that day, it was coming out of my spirit. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I am blessed and not cursed. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am a child of the King. I am an overcomer. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of my testimony, and loving up my life to the death. I am of the line of the tribe of Judah. That's who I am. That's who you are. But if we don't tell ourselves that, somebody else is going to tell us something different. I know you all have experienced that. I know that you've experienced somebody telling you something else. That little voice inside your head that's running around in your mind, those thoughts that won't quit, they're telling you something else. But you've got to answer that. You've got to stand up and say, this is who I am. I am not that. I am not going to let you lie to me. I hear you knocking out there on the door, but you're not coming in here. This is who I am. And I'm keeping my identity. This word from the Lord that He spoke to me, He ended up with this part saying, tell them of my army and that I am with them. There are more for them than against them. And so I want to talk a little bit today about angel armies. And so I want to start out in 2 Kings chapter 7, verses 3 through 7. And in this chapter, the Syrian army has shut up Samaria, and they are locked in. Nobody can get in or out. Nobody can bring any provisions in. Nobody can come and help them. They can't escape or get away. They're locked in. And I'm going to pick up now in verse 3, and it says, there were four leprous men at the gate, and one at the entrance of the gate, and one said to another, why are we sitting here till we die? If we say we'll enter the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we'll die also. And therefore, come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians, and if they keep us alive, we shall live. But if they kill us, we'll only die. And then they rose at twilight to go to the camp of Syrians, and when they came to the outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses and the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, look, the king of Israel has hired the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us. Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. Now I just think it's interesting that these four leprous men at the gate of the city over here makes a decision. If we go into the city, we're going to die. If we sit right here where we're at, folks, we're going to die. We have to get up and we have to move. We have to do something. And so these, now listen, they went out at twilight, these four leprous men. At twilight, God caused the Syrian army to hear this great army coming at them. They heard the sound of horses and the sound of chariots and the sound of a great army coming right at them. Folks, if you ever see that kind of army, you will know the fear of the Lord. It is something to behold, and it's something that you can't escape the quaking in your heart when you see it. And they heard that, and they fled for their lives. I always thought it was funny that they didn't take their horses and ride on their horses. Seems like they could have gone away a little quicker. But they didn't think. They were frozen with fear. And they jumped and they ran for their lives. Got out of there. I want to tell you about this dream that I had some time ago. And this was years and years ago. But it really was my first experience of seeing an angel army. I was standing on a porch. And a little small porch had a banister rail around it, open entrance into the porch. The porch was facing this way. Down that way was over the hill, and there was a city beneath. Up this way was the forest. And as I was standing there, I was had a band around my neck, tightened around my neck. And it was kind of like what we would think of a house arrest if you... So the ankle bracelet that people have, if you get off, they'll be notified. And I knew in my heart, it's not something I just thought about or was worried about. I knew it. I knew if I stepped off of that porch, the enemy was going to come after me and come after me big. So I was frozen in fear, and I was in bondage on an open porch because of my fear. It held me in bondage. And so I knew that what God was calling me to do was go to that city down over the hill. I knew that, but I was frozen in bondage of fear here, afraid to go. So day after day, I was praying and praying and praying, standing on this porch. And finally, I got over to this side of the porch, and I'm looking down over that city, and I began to proclaim over this city what God was going to do for them. I began to tell this city, you know, from up there on the hill, I began to just wave my hand over this city and tell them who they were in Christ Jesus. And I began to tell them about their God and how their God was coming. And one day, my desire to do what God wanted me to do became greater than my fear. So I stepped off the porch. And as I stepped off the porch, I grabbed that collar, that yoke of bondage that was around my neck, and I threw it down to the ground. But as I reached up to get it, I saw in the distance angel armies come, just as hard as they could come. By the time that hit the ground, they were already there. It was like, boom, they were there, just like that. The lead angel has a bow. He notches a bronze arrow and shoots it in the tree behind the porch where I was at. And he said, as long as the arrow stays in the tree, the enemy will never know you left the porch. So we began to go down to that city then. I don't know, I can't convey to you all that I saw in that city. As we began to walk in, there was miracles happening, healings happening, just people set free from bondage, left and right, so fast that I couldn't even comprehend them all. And so vast, such mighty miracles that I couldn't even begin to grasp all that I was seeing. I remember this one woman sit up here on the side, and she was an elderly woman, and she had real heavy set woman. And I knew, just as quick as I saw her, I had a knowing that she had tried many, many years to lose weight, and that she was so bound up that she couldn't get free, and that she needed deliverance because of her health issues. She needed it really bad. And just like that, just as I was looking at her and saw her, 100 pounds dropped off of that woman. Just dropped off. She was standing there in the dress that was way, way too big for her. It's just like that was happening left and right. I could see it as we were walking along. We never stopped, never slowed down. I was with this angel army, and we were just going forward. I remember being in a conference room, just like a room with a table and people sitting around it. There were 12 to 15 people in that room, and a woman was speaking to them. I walked through the door and said, if you want to get saved, now's the time to do it. 10 of them got saved right then. The other five or whatever man was left is in there was cramming at the door trying to get out away from this woman so that they could be saved too. We never stopped. We kept on going. That's an introduction to angel armies, folks. The power, the vastness of it, the incredibleness of it, it's too much to even for the natural mind to comprehend it. This is what God's wanting to send us to help us. I want to talk to you about now in 2 Kings, and this is just a page backwards from here. This is in chapter 6, starting at verse 12. Well, I'm going to start at verse 11. This situation is here that the Syrian army had come against Israel, and they were making war against Israel. And the king of Judah, he just seemed to know everything Syria had planned. All their strategies, all of their warfare that they intended to do to them, he just seemed to know beforehand. So the king of Syria is just really upset and tore up about this. And so he says in verse 11, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? In other words, who's the traitor? One of his servants said, none, O Lord, my king, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. So he said, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him that he was saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And the servant said to him, alas, my master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There are more for us than against us. We need to settle in about who our God is. We not only need to know who we are, we need to know who our God is. We need to be able to understand that this kind of help will come to us when we pray, when we talk to God, when we get in deep relationship with Him. He will show up. He will come. In 2 Chronicles, there's another instance of this kind of phrase being repeated, and this is where King Hezekiah is telling the children of Israel that to be strong and courageous and not to be afraid. You have to remember that the king of Asherah here, has held, how it was holding them in siege. And the situation was that they were sending people out to proclaim to them in the city, don't listen to King Hezekiah. He's just telling you a bunch of hogwash. He's just telling you just, you know, what you want to hear. You don't believe that stuff. It's a fairy tale. You know, and so this is the kind of things that they were hearing day after day after day after day. And so King Hezekiah tells them, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. With him is an army of flesh, but with us is the Lord our God to help us to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the word of Hezekiah. This same word here is in Joshua 1:9. Be strong in the Lord and the power of it. You know, be strong in the Lord. Be very courageous. This is the very word that he had for him. And in 1 Samuel verse 30, verse 6, this is the word that's used when David encouraged himself in the Lord. When all the people was in that city was carried off to Ziklag, the city, was carried off and the city was burned with fire. And David comes in and they're talking about stoning David now. And so this is what David goes. He goes and he gets with his God. And he strengthens himself in the Lord. In other words, he encouraged himself in the Lord. He built himself up in the Lord by encouraging himself in the Lord. He became strong in the Lord. Then he turned to the Lord after he had done that and asked, what do you want me to do? Shall I go? He said, surely you will go and recover all. In 2 Samuel 17 through 20, when David became king over Israel, the Philistines came to destroy him and to keep him from being king. They didn't want David to be king. You know that little song that they sang? Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. Philistines did not want David to be king. So David asked God, shall I go against the Philistine? Will you deliver them into my hands? And so David goes, the Lord says to David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into your hand. After that battle, David compares that battle as like a breakthrough of water. It was so, going against this mighty army was just like going out there and walking through water. It wasn't a big deal. He knew that God had done it. And later on in that same chapter in verse 22, the Philistines come against David again. And David again asked the Lord. And this time the Lord tells him not to go up, but instead to circle around behind them and come up on them in front of the mulberry trees. And he tells him, now wait there. Stay there until you hear the sound of marching in the tops of the mulberry trees. What kind of army is marching in the tops of the mulberry trees? Angel armies is on the way. You just wait there for them. They're going to join you in the battle. Quick as you hear them, you head out. And, of course, they won that battle. I want to tell you about a dream that I had once that made such an impression upon me that in this dream, I went to heaven. And Jesus opened this door in heaven and took me into this room. I saw miles of angels lined up, miles of them. And I said, God, that's the most awesome sight I ever saw. I mean, I didn't know what to do. It was just more than my mind could comprehend of angels. And he rebuked me sharply. And I said, what? You know, I don't understand. He said, come. He took me to the front of the line. At the front of the line, there was an open there. And I could see the earth down below. And I could see one point of light coming up. And that lead angel was down like in a starting position. The first five or six was like in a starting position. So that when somebody prayed, they went. They wanted to go so bad that they were down like in a starting position to jump when that little point of light comes up. Remember that line in the word that the Lord gives me? Angel armies await, but no one calls. The swords are ready. Their swords are ready, but no one prays. Is it our fault they're lined up like that? We have to pray, folks. We have to pray. The more we pray, the more help we're going to get. And the battle when Joshua was in battle, and there was too numerous of people, too long a time, and the Lord threw down hailstones on them. The Lord himself fought for them. Our God is a mighty God. He is going to come when we pray. He is going to show up. I will tell you that I have seen them here in this place. One night on Wednesday night, one came right, landed right out there in the entry outside that door and walked right up here, right over there, and stood there. And I'm over here thinking, what in the world do I do? I'm waiting to see what he wants to do because I don't have a clue why he's here. So then he comes over and he starts picking up off of the floor, just little things, picking them up. And I didn't know what he was doing, so I just kind of waited. He had a little pouch on his side. He's picking them up, putting them in the pouch, And I thought, what in the world is going on here? I mean, I wanted to understand. I'm asking God, I want to understand. He was picking up our prayers. I saw him taking them up to heaven and pouring them out before the throne of God. I have seen countless times where we've sitting in the prayer group and he walked up right behind Jennifer, stood there. I couldn't do nothing but cry. I couldn't open my mouth to say a word. Countless times I have seen this over and over and over. Twice in the last few weeks, he has brushed me walking by over there on the side. I knew he's roaming these seats. While we're praising him. He wants us, folks. He is drawing with everything in him, but we got to respond. It's up to us to open our eyes and open our spiritual eyes and open up to him. But we got to quit letting the enemy tell us who we are. And we got to quit letting the world tell us who our God is. And we've got to seek him. We've got to seek his word and not just read it, but become a doer of it. Take it into our hearts. Let it be what we walk in. Let it be what comes out of our mouth, what we proclaim, what we say. Let this be who we are. And when we let this be who we are, there's no telling what God will do. God in Romans 8:31 says, if our God is for us, who can stand against us? Our God is for us. About 2.5 years ago, I heard this groaning sound. Went on for 2 or 3 weeks. I would just be working around, not doing nothing. You know, not thinking about, not praying, and not really thinking about anything in particular. And I would hear this groaning sound. I did not know what it was. This went on for just 2 or 3 weeks. I kept hearing it just occasionally. One day I was at my house and I was just cleaning house and I heard that sound again and it was so loud. And I said, God, what is that sound I'm hearing? And he spoke to me and he said, that's the sound of my church trying to get up on her feet. It's time to get up, folks. God's moving. You see the revivals happening. We can get on board or not. We can be like those four leprous men. We can enter a place we die. We can sit right here where we die. Or we can decide to get up and be who God called us to be.